credit where credit is due. It comes from New Morning Mercies. So those of you who've read it, gone through that daily devotional, you will recognize some of what I'm sharing this morning. But being the type of person I am, I don't always stick to the whole thing. So I want to read another passage that you will not see on the board. And this is from Ephesians. And so I don't start in the middle of a verse. We'll go to Ephesians 3, verse 5. And this will be from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which is just a little bit different because it came out before the CSB, I should say, version. I'll start with verse 3. This mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written about. By reading this, you are able to understand my insight about the mystery of the Messiah. This was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and partners of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me, and by the working of his power. When you say, Brother John, what does that have to do with fear? We know that there are many things to be feared. And we know that God's word is to be trusted. But as we look at this key passage today, we see that the Israelites had fear. They had been, because of their unbelief, they had been spread out. And this is in Isaiah 41, verses 1 through 14 that we read earlier. So if you want to show that on the screen, that would be great. They had a lot to fear. Why? Because they've been disobedient, and God let judgment come on them. And they had been conquered, and they had been taken away as prisoners. And now God had brought them back together, as Isaiah is saying, what God was going to do and bring them back together. But they did not have to fear, because God had them in his hand. And we don't have to fear, because we may not be Jews. There may be a few Jews here this morning, Jewish descent. But the majority of us are what the scriptures call Gentiles. But the word of God was made for all of us, because God's plan for the beginning was to send his son. And the Jewish people were not to be a people that just served themselves and ostracized everybody else. They were to be a people that were to be a blessing to the nations. And so you can see here in Isaiah 41 that God's plan is brought out. And as the people are approaching, they see that God says there is a plan for you. There's a plan in your situation. There's a plan in your location. There's a plan in your relationships. And that is for all of us who follow Jesus Christ. He has a plan for each one of us. Where does fear come from? Have you been afraid? You know, Luan and I bought that car last year. And I knew it was far beyond me. It's got more bells and whistles than I've ever seen before. But one of the things it has on cruise control is something called lane assist. So as we were going down to Walla Walla and as we were coming back, I finally got out on some open roads where I could try it. And I tried it once before, and I discovered I can allow that vehicle to assist me. But if I think it's getting over to the side too far and I try to pull it back, it fights me. Any of you had that happen? The vehicle is actually fighting me. Why? Because I have not put my trust into that device. Now, do I like it? In a way, but I'm still not used to not tugging on that steering wheel when I think I'm going too far one way or the other. But you know what it does? It tugs back the other way. And that could be dangerous. God is working in our lives, in our situations. And we may not understand what he's doing, but God knows what he's doing. And he sees the whole picture. We just see one little film box. You remember the old Disney when he first started making cartoons and they had those things you could flip through the cards and you could see a cartoon? I don't know if any of you ever saw those or not. I'm going back. Now, any of you that are younger, this is way before you were around. So you flip through those cards and you see a movie. And that was Disney's concept for the first animated motion pictures, was to do it frame by frame by frame by frame by frame. Now we have so much computer stuff that they don't have to do all that. But God knows the beginning and the end of his creation. And we come to fear when we stop trusting him in each and every situation we face. When we start trying to control in our own strength and power, it's just like that car pulling that steering wheel away from me. It made a fun ride for Luan. I had to learn how to relax. Yes, you still hung on to the steering wheel. And it was real good when there was a center line and there was a fog line. But when that fog line wasn't there, I thought, this thing's going to take me right off the road. That's the way we are with God sometimes. We don't understand what he's doing. And so when the situation gets tough and we start getting pulled in one direction or another, there is fear. What are you afraid of? What's the situation that puts you over the line and says, I just can't do this anymore? It's being out of control. But we have to give the control to God. Luan got notified this morning that late yesterday evening, a friend of ours' mother died. And we'd been back to Florida a couple of times and met her mother. And she just And it was like that. We're family now. Because we are friends of Cindy's. So that makes us family. And hospice was there, was dealing with it, and she slipped off into the night. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do not have to be afraid of physical death. I look forward to it. I'd like for LaJuan and I to go at the same time so that neither one of us has to do without the other one. But, you know, that's all in God's hands. But we have nothing to fear about the future because we are God's children. We have been grafted in. And so there's nothing to fear. God gives us power and grace no matter what our location is. Isaiah was talking about the Jewish people who had been spread all over. And they thought they had to come to the temple to worship God, but what Jesus did was Jesus came and he is our temple. And now that he has rose again and split the curtain in the temple in two, we each individually are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus ascended so that the Holy Spirit could come into our lives. And so now each one of us that believes in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we never have to fear about being away from God. Because his temple is in you. You are the church. This building is a church house, but it's not the church. We like to make it look nice to honor God and to show the community that we care about the God we believe in. But this building could disappear. And those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, those of us who are members here at North Addison Baptist Church, we'll still be the local church wherever we are. It doesn't matter if you're online listening to this sermon somewhere else, you're a member of this church. And God is with you. And so we have the empowering grace of God to make it through each day because he cares for you. He cares for me. He touches your heart. Where does our fear come? When we've been disobedient. I've heard this conversation more than once in the last week. When does a child get afraid? When they know they have disobeyed and punishment's coming. And that's the way we are with God, as God's children. We get fearful because we know that that old spirit that's in each one of us, I'd rather do it myself, is there. And we haven't surrendered to the guidance of God. And we have to come back and say, Father, forgive me. I blew it again. How dare that I think that my way is better than your way. I don't understand what you're doing, Lord, but I know you have a plan. And I know in the end, you have the victory. And I'm safe in Jesus' hands. Lord Jesus said, you're in my hand and I am in the Father's hand. And no one, no power, nothing is able to pluck you out of Jesus' hand. The creator of the universe has you when you trust in him. So the location doesn't matter. But the relationship matters. What is your relationship? I learned as I was growing up, and I was brought up in a very disciplined home, and I was brought up with fear of being punished when I did wrong. And I learned that it was better to focus on the relationship with my parents. And one of the things that hurt me more than anything was when my mother said to me, John, I'm disappointed in you. When the Holy Spirit says to you and to your heart, I'm disappointed in you. What do? Do you say, I'm sorry? I trust in you. I'll follow you no matter what. I'll go wherever you direct me. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. You may feel like it's impossible. How can God be glorified out of this situation that I'm in? But he's saying, I love you. I forgive you. I have you in my hand. Follow me and obey me, and you will be happy. Not challenging the borders that God has put up to protect us, but saying, thank you, God, that there's a guardrail there to keep me from doing something stupid or disastrous. Thank you, God. And it's that everyday relationship. So as I was raised up, I was kind of legalistic. But as I've grown in the Lord and learned it, it's not the laws that I'm most concerned about now, because they're there. You know, the Ten Commandments are there to guide us, direct us. But what is important is that my loving Savior said, I fulfilled these Ten Commandments. I fulfilled the law. I died in your place. And trust me and love me and follow me. And when things go wrong, come back to me. You say, well, Brother John, that means I'm going to be praying all the time. Yes. And yes. Yes, Lord. I'm sorry. Yes, Lord, you were right. Yes, Lord, I don't understand, but I know you do. So I will follow you, and I don't have to be afraid. because your power and your glory is over me. They have on the display for us a passage in 1 Peter 5. Verses 6 and 7, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that you may, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. He cares for me. Say that with me. He cares for me. Again, he cares for me. A third time, he cares for me. Isn't that amazing? God cares for me. Makes me want to cry. God cares for you. God loves you. You and he cares so much that he came as the Son into the world to experience it all and died for you. The question isn't, does he care? He cares. The question is, do you care? Do you care? Do you care that whenever you do something wrong, that was one of those nails that was driven into Jesus' hands? Do you care that when you get upset and lash out in anger, that that's hurting someone who needs to know the love of Jesus Christ? Do you care that he has taken away all reason to fear? He says, fear not, I am with you. We don't have to be afraid. Now, we can get that way. We can start looking at everything that's happening in the world, and we can start worrying about this and that. On the 20th of next month, I know this because I was originally going to preach that, but Bobby and Jaron Watkins went to Croatia, and so Pastor Steve couldn't get them to come here today to be in charge of our service, so we got switched. But on the 20th, they're going to be here. And they went to Croatia, and they were supposed to be back in Spokane yesterday. You know where they spent the night? Minneapolis, Minnesota. Because of connections that were to get them there in time to get their connecting flight to come here, they missed it. And so sometime today, they hope to arrive back here to Spokane. Why are they going through all this? Because they love Jesus. They love Bible camps. They love Ukrainians. They've been serving them. And they care. Now, they're just a little bit younger than me. They have physical problems. And they've gone through all this. But they do it not because it's what's easy, but they do it because they care. So don't be afraid. We have a marvelous God. He loves us. He died for us. He arose and had victory over death for us, and he's coming again. And when he does, he's taking us home. Or If we're fortunate, we'll go home before he comes. But whichever happens first, God loves you. Now, the important thing, do you love God? Have you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He died for the whole world. He died for every individual. He took the pain of everything upon him so that you didn't get, so that I don't get what I deserve as a rebellious person, eternal separation from the love of God. But he said, no, I love you. Trust in me. Follow me. If you haven't done that, don't wait. Do it now. There's always an excuse to put it off till later. But you never know whether you'll have that opportunity later or not. Trust in Jesus. Have you trusted in Jesus? Then be obedient. Follow him in baptism. The symbol, as we have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and as when we follow Jesus and we say yes to him, the water symbolizes that our old life is buried and we've been raised to a new life. Be obedient. And we might as well do the other one. The Lord's Supper, some of you call it communion. The body and blood of Jesus, which was shed for us. As we take it, we examine our lives and we say, Father, forgive me. May I make right with everybody that I've offended, and may I follow you as I know how your body suffered for me and how your blood was shed for me. So where are you? God may have something for you to do that he's calling you to do, and you say, well, Brother John, I'm too old for that. Well, frankly, I'm too old to be up here in front of you right now. Too many physical problems. But you know what? If God says do it, he will make it possible for you to do it. So wherever you are, we're going to have a hymn of invitation, I'm going to call it, Brother Bill. And we're going to be singing day by day. And so as I pray and the worship team comes forward, will you say yes to Jesus? Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you give us. Thank you that you are in control. And we can say yes. Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, we will follow you. Yes, Lord, it's a privilege to be your child. And now, Father, as we have this time, may we all say yes. It's in your name I pray. Amen. If God's spoken to your heart, take this opportunity. Come and make it public. If you're not ready to do that, share it with somebody by you. And if you're not ready to do that, take one of those decision cards and mark it on there so someone can follow up and talk to you about it. But do what God is calling you to do.